dads, two moms who want to go back and apologize to their parents. A podcast for the modern parent. It's Parenthood by Fire.
That's right, another episode, Parenthood by Fire. My name is Mike, the host of the show, joined by the lovely Jennifer, the lovely Elena, and the lovely, lovely Pedro. He got two lovelies. Do you like that?
Yeah, yeah,
he's special. Well, I mean, he's my special man friend.
He is your special. You are sitting awfully close together.
And he's touching my leg, too, just for the
are you sure it was
I just...
It wasn't with my hand, folks. It wasn't with my hand.
All right, let's loosen up. How's everybody doing, by the way?
Pretty good.
Good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doing good.
Fantastic.
Any fun stories from the week with the kids? And the whole point of fun stories here is so that people know that we actually have kids, like real, breathing, living children.
I have a story.
Okay.
I have a story, and I'll tell you, this is how I woke up this morning. So this summer, we got a fort for the kids to play with in the backyard. And so they've been really into it, have decorated it, have curtains, have a disco light, like just really love it.
Disco light.
Yeah. So we ran power out to it. Thank you. So they love it so much that first thing they
do
in the morning.
She didn't mention is the techno music and the strobe light.
Not techno. They really like the Gaga. So Lady Gaga is usually what's pulsing out there.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So they love it so much that they think, okay, as soon as it's wake up time, I'm going to go out there first thing in the morning. So 6:15, I'm able to roll over in bed and I see my children out there in the fort, and there's Dewey. Just in a t-shirt.
T-shirt and undies or just t-shirt?
No, just in a t-shirt. I see his bare bottom.
Nice.
Right there. And honestly, I thought, there's a blanket down. He's not going to get a splinter in his butt. Whatever. And I rolled back over and I went to sleep. And it was probably about an hour later that I told him to put pants on.
Nice.
Bad parent, good parent, realistic parent. Which one?
I'm going to go realistic parent on that.
Yeah, realistic.
I mean, was he doing any harm to anybody? If he got something in the tissue, does it really matter, really? No?
That sounds like a logical consequence to me. You go hanging out in nature without pants on, you might get that.
It's one of those things where, hey, you know what? Don't coddle him. Let him get a splinter in his butt, and when he's crying, and tough love, baby.
He eventually put pants on. It was fine.
Nice. Yeah. My household tends to be a pantless household. We do a lot of a lot of no pants. You all right over there?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right. You okay?
Yeah.
All right. And so my wife wears pants, just for the record. Let's get that out there. She won't like that.
She does wear the pants.
Yeah, she does wear the pants of the family. That's for damn sure.
Confirmed. Yeah, that's definitely confirmed.
You hear that, Jennifer, Mike? You do wear the pants.
She wears the... Oh, God. So she wears the pants, but my son is like his dad and like his... You know, he's good stock. He's from me, right? And he walks around a lot without pants. And it's very common that after using the restroom, he will run out of the bathroom and just stark naked and run in and, you know, twirl his underwear around his head and throw it at somebody. And that's... Maybe there's adult
Gaga
dancing
playing.
Coming. Lady Gaga playing, something like that. I don't know. But so my son, he's discovered his peeps. And for the paramedic,
the marshmallow. Marshmallow chicken.
I didn't realize these candy made that.
Okay, sorry. This is better now.
Yeah.
So he's discovered his penis.
That's good.
Woo, penis.
Yes. Woo. Off air, we were talking about the proper nomenclature here in my household. It's a peeps, just for the record. Okay. So when you hear me refer to my son's peeps, or my son referring to his peeps, he's referring to his junk, his genitalia, his penis. Okay, is that all right?
Does that include his testicles as well, or your testicles?
It includes everything that's attached in that general region, okay?
I actually just used the word testicles with my children the other day, and they had no clue what I was talking about. So apparently, I've done a great job in identifying the penis, but testicles not so much. We'll work on that.
I had to explain what testicles were to my son, Mo. We have a climbing structure. It's about 4.5 stories tall.
Where do I see this going?
No, it's...
Workout feet, right?
It's called exaggeration. It's for the funny... Okay, so it's a half dome. It's a really small one. Maybe it's about 3 feet tall in the middle or whatever. Nah, about 4 feet tall in the middle. And he was climbing up, and he had Crocs on, And yes, I let him wear Crocs, guys. But he doesn't wear socks with the Crocs. Okay?
Good, good.
No standard. Yeah.
He likes to, but I told him, you're not German, so you can't wear the Crocs with the socks. So he was climbing up, and his Crocs were wet, and he slipped, and he straddled the bar. And he hit. And I'm like, did you hit your penis and your testicles? And he's like, and he stopped. He's like, what are testicles? And I'm like, those are the two guys that hang underneath your penis. And the penis is what you pee through. The testicles are the guys that hang underneath. Okay. And he hurt a lot. And then I know you girls don't really understand what it's like to be kicked in the... in the nads, so to speak, in the testicles, but it hurts, and it hurts a lot, and it kind of pulls on your lower intestine for several seconds. So that was the first time, and he was about three and a half or so.
Do you remember the feeling when you were having, as I look at Jennifer here, when you're having contractions, and you're like, oh, that doesn't feel right.
Yes.
Yeah, something like that.
It's the best way I can explain my life. I didn't realize you knew what contractions felt like, Mike.
Oh, I know. I do Kegels. Guys, I do them all the time. I know what they feel like.
He needs to. He has big bowel movements.
Yeah.
He just really needs to work out.
Oh, God. No. So my son discovered his peeps.
Right.
All right. And yes. I'm going to be honest. I had heard the term baby boner. Let's just go there, right? Mm-hmm. Baby boners.
Sure.
Yep.
And I had not witnessed a baby boner until the other night. And
I'm sorry. I have two boys. I see baby boners really constantly.
Well, the thing was, my son calls me and goes, Dad, my peeps is growing. And he's like, and then I'm like, hey, good job, buddy. And he's like flicking it with his finger, right? And I'm like, no, stop flicking it. Don't touch it. Just leave it alone. He goes, it hurts. And he's flicking it. And I'm like, then stop touching it. Yeah, stop touching it. So it was one of those moments as a father where you're kind of like you're proud, but at the same time, kind of like, you know, how do you tell your son to be careful? He only gets one.
That's what I told.
It's like you can get a second issue.
That's what I told Mo. He was standing in the bathroom and he was pulling on it and yanking on it, and I'm like,
his peeps or his testicles? Just
his penis, his actual penis.
His peeps.
Yeah, his peeps. He was pulling on his peeps.
Hey, Joe, don't go to the dark side.
Don't do it.
The pink and yellow ones. And it was really messy in the bathroom.
Oh.
They were melting in the
bathroom. It was around Easter, room, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was around Easter.
But he kept pulling. I told him, straight up, you only have one of those. And it feels good when you touch it. But you can't touch it in front of other people. And if you pull on it too hard, you will hurt it. And it will not work anymore. And you're going to want it to work when you're older. I promise. I'm straight up. I don't mince words with my son, which gets me into trouble sometimes because he likes to repeat things I say.
Daddy said.
Any fun stories with Rocky?
You know, not about that particular topic.
Oh, it doesn't have to be about peeps. It can be about, you know, anything in the past week. Done anything fun? Said anything crazy?
You know, he learned to climb out of his crib.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, so we cheated. We turned the crib around.
Yay. Oh, nice work.
I think it'll get us another 3 months or so. I'm just trying to make it a little closer to three before we
outlast your child.
Yes. Yeah. My kids both slept in one of those outlawed cribs. You know, the ones that now...
Oh, the drop sides?
Yeah, the drop sides. Yeah. And happened to be in one that was recalled, nonetheless. Yeah. So, yeah, my kids were in cribs that apparently kill people.
We had a crib with a drop side and went through the home study and had to get rid of it and buy a new one.
Yeah.
We have a crib that my wife slept in when she was a baby.
Fantastic.
And just to let you know, I am almost 35 and she's 35. So, yeah. It even has teeth marks from her and her brother and my older son. And my little son's now in it, too. So, Otis he doesn't like to bite it, but he doesn't like the teeth marks yet. But.
Why did anybody here save their crib for those that have kids that are out of a crib at this point?
Sold it.
We sold it, too.
Quick as that.
Yeah. My parents kept my crib. Very much. I've seen a picture of Mo and Otis's crib. Exact same crib. I actually think they made one model of crib back in the day. Because, I mean, absolutely the exact same thing. Why did our parents save that?
It was furniture. Well, I mean, they didn't have IKEA and Chinese-made junk back then. You know, 1978, you're talking about...
Yeah, but you're saving a crib. You're saving some... I was 30 years old. My crib was still in the attic.
The rocking chair in Durham my dad made.
Rocking chair's different, right? You don't grow out of it. The crib, do you still sleep in the crib that you were born in? Or b- born?
No, they didn't keep the crib, but they did. The rocking chair sat in the corner of a room for a long time. No one used it.
All right. So as with any episode, or as with all the episodes that we do here on the show, each week one of us comes with a topic, something that we want to talk about. And of course, you know, as you start to interact with the show on Facebook or Twitter or even our website, parenthoodbyfire.com, as you interact with our show, and you're welcome to give us topics. And one of us is happy to bring it to the show and talk about it. Pedro drew the short straw for this episode. And so he is going to, you came with the topic, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, what's the topic that we're going on for you today?
So this topic is near and dear to my heart as a stay-at-home father, because I tend to deal with a lot of other stay-at-home parents. And I find, and kind of going back to our very first podcast about misconceptions of parenting and other stuff, that most of the other parents don't really parent their children. They do something else. A lot of times I find that they're in a gaggle of people and they're talking and their kids are running wild and they're bouncing on bounce houses and they're pushing my son over or they're smacking their kid or some other kid. And it's like, I've found that I parent other kids just as much as I parent my own child. So it's really rather frustrating. To give you an example, they're here in the local Northern California area, like I'm sure there's most places. In the summertime, it gets really hot, and so we have these indoor play areas. And this one particular place, they have a little ball pit. And in this ball pit, you can have kids from as little as 18 months to 2 years to, I've seen kids in there that are like 11, 12 years old. And in a ball pit, you know, the little kids like to throw the balls a little bit or bouncing them. But the older kids, they just like to throw the balls at each other. Well, this was when Otis wasn't even around. Mo was 3, so it was a little while ago, but he was in the middle of this ball pit, and all of a sudden this ball fight breaks out, and it's just raining balls left and right. It's like, it's just back and forth, and all of a sudden, like, three little kids get tagged in the face, and they're crying. And I'm not going to just jump in there and start ripping kids out, but I actually yelled at the kids. I'm like, hey, kids, just knock it off. There's no throwing balls in there. You hit so many little kids in the face. And then as I was yelling at them, because there's also an inflatable thing and there's loud music pumping, just like Lady Gaga's going in the background. And I'm like, well, and so another mom yelled at me and I'm like, will you tell your kid to stop throwing balls at my kid? Because he's not throwing any balls. And so it just became this whole fiasco. And it's like, if people just watched their kids and paid attention to their kids, they can actually, you know, I wouldn't have to parent anybody else's kids. Because I know my son, and I keep an eye on him. He's a little older, so I let him go out and do stuff. But he's a good kid, and he knows all the lessons because I've taught him. And there's lots of parents that don't teach their kids these social lessons. I hate that saying, oh, they'll figure it out. No, they won't. They won't figure it out. You know what they'll figure out? They'll figure out that they're bigger and they're stronger, or they're weaker and they're smaller, and either they'll be submissive or they'll be dominant, but that's what they figure out. And that they don't figure out that, oh, if I'm nice to somebody and I share my toys, then they'll be nice to me and I can share, and then we can share together, and then we can live in a world and have world peace and be all happy and nice. They don't understand that. Children are little animals, and they understand that if I'm bigger and stronger and I can take somebody's toy, then I can take their toy and nobody else can get it, and I'm going to keep it. It's my toy now. So anyways, that's my top.
I had an incident at a local chicken establishment. We will not mention the name, but a place that specializes in chicken. And they have a one of those indoor play structures. It was kind of, the weather was a little bit nasty today. So the kids were in there playing. And sure enough, I look in through the glass and my son is like doing a slap fight with some other kid. And they're like, you know, slapping at each other. And I storm over there and open the door. And I'm like, hey, buddy, enough. Hands to yourself, right? And then my son was like, oh, well, this guy over here, this kid, it was his fault. He did it first, right? Always, right? Oh, he did it first. You know, I don't care who did what first. No, keep your hands to yourself right now. So a couple minutes pass by, right? And I look in and I see the other little pink squishy thing throwing his hands and like starting a little pick a fight with my son, right? And I watched that. Now my son, thankfully, of course, brilliant child, hadn't started, going back at the other kid and stuff. So I opened the door and I was like, hey, buddy, no. And I felt bad saying keep your hands to yourself because it's not my kid, right? So I'm like, no. And then I did one of these. and I'm not sure if this was right or not, I pointed at my two eyes, and then I pointed at him, like, I'm watching you.
Did you do the slitting the throat maneuver?
No, I
would have taken it a bit far, I think.
Well, I think back in our day, back in the early 80s, slitting the throat would have been okay. There were a lot of things that were okay back then, but I think now... It may get you in trouble, perhaps.
No.
But it bugs me when even in that situation, and I don't know if you've had this happen, when the big kids are in there, the kids that are a couple of years too old to be in the play structure, yes. And of course they're playing very different, and so your sweet innocent 4.5-year-old E-man is in there playing. He's not sweet innocent, by the way. That was, you know, trying to build that up. Mm-hmm. And then the big kids are in there, right? And they're being tyrants. So at any rate. That happened to me, and it's embarrassing. I don't like doing that, and I don't know how to do that right. I don't know. I maybe it's just I'm just not assertive enough in that area. But I was uncomfortable telling another kid to knock it off.
I don't think you should be uncomfortable at all. Me I think neither. That you need people need to be checked, and whether they're little kids or whether they're older kids or whether they're adults, they need to be checked on their behavior. If nobody checks anybody on their behavior, then how are we all going to get along? I'm not saying you needed to go in there and start smacking the kids around and be like, keep your hands to yourself. Do what I say, not what I do. Don't do that. But yeah, you need to, because otherwise your kid, anyway, yeah, they just need to, they need to be taught what the proper way is to interact with other kids.
Well, people treat a playground like a daycare center. That's what they do. They go in there, go play. And then they'll tune out on their phones or take the time for themselves.
Wait, you're not supposed to do that?
No.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
See, for me, I guess, maybe I define it differently, but when I go to a playground, I'm going to play with my son, you know? And even if I'm just kind of walking behind him so that, you know, I know that the term helicopter mom is thrown out there, and I'm not a helicopter mom, but I do watch
I've never heard that term. Is that supposed to mean that you're hovering around your kids?
Yeah.
And I'm not a mom, so
micromanaging basically everything your children
and
are doing.
I let him play wherever he wants to play, but I keep my eye on him. I watch my child to make sure that he is not doing inappropriate things to other people or other people aren't doing inappropriate things to him.
Well, I think you bring up a good point, Elena, in that, you know, you're going to interact with your child and spend quality time with your child. And a lot of people aren't. It is just the, hey, go play. I'm going to sit on this bench here and hop onto Facebook. So,
exactly.
That's the difference. And for me, I have no problem reminding other people's children of appropriate rules and how to socially interact. I got over that a long time ago from my preschool teacher background and kind of being in child development and working in preschools for my whole life. I have no problem telling other people's children what the appropriate expectations are for whatever the activity we're doing.
That's right. I don't think in our intro podcast, when we started the whole series here of shows, I don't think you ever mentioned that you were a child care director, right?
Yeah. I certainly haven't. I have a history in child development and have worked, you know, for probably 18 years now with children. So I don't have a problem parenting them in the sense of letting them know what the appropriate expectations are for whatever social situation we're in. The part that as a parent, so if you take kind of away the professional part of it, as a parent, the part that makes me feel uncomfortable is that when I am out at a party or at a park and I see my children interacting in a way, I tend to make decisions about their behavior based on who I'm with. I'm pretty lenient at home. I have high expectations of my children, but I give them a long leash. And I find that when we're in social situations, I actually am more on top of them and I am quicker to correct them and to do those things depending on where we are or who we're with, because I want to make sure that they're not crossing the lines for other parents. And I don't know if anyone else feels that way either, but there's times where they'll look at me and be like, really, you're correcting that? That doesn't normally happen.
I found that it's a learning curve, of course, but setting expectations as you go into something is so important. I mean, just so that they know what the consequence of an action is.
Yeah. With my kids, I don't know. It's interesting. You know, I guess initially, you know, we talked a while back about misconceptions of parenting. And I think probably if we went around the table, we all thought we were going to be exactly the same kind of cookie cutter parent. Well, I'm not going to be the bad parent. I'm going to be the good parent. The parent that, you know, has everything perfectly in line. And by the way, when you see that parent in the store and that child is perfectly behaved, they drug that kid. That's Benadryl.
No, I don't buy it.
It's beatings.
Beatings and Benadryl. Exactly.
You gotta lift up their shirt. That's where all the bruises are at. They don't.
Oh, God.
Beat your child. You don't. Nothing exposed.
So there's different kinds of parents. There are parents that have kids who have a more mellow disposition, and that you might see those parents that are in the
store. Can I trade those kids?
The one that kills me, and I gotta hand it. I saw this lady in the supermarket the other day. No joke. She's walking around. She's got four kids, right? And they're probably a year apart spaced. And she's got a belly. And we are talking, she is 10, 15 months pregnant, baby. I know it's not possible, right? But this thing, she's a small lady, small frame, and this belly, it looks like it's going to pop. Like she's got a big, gigantic water balloon under her shirt, okay? I mean, that just gives you an idea. And this is how she's talking to her kids, right? Okay, would you help mommy? Would you go get something off the shelf there? Thank you, sweetheart. And I'm thinking to myself, how's she pulling that off, seriously?
And it was working.
She's drugged.
You think so?
She's on downers. She's just like, I can't handle the stress. It's like moms of the 50s. She pops a Valium before she goes out with her four kids.
She pops a Valium with her 9.5-month-old child
small
in the womb.
A little bit.
A little glass of wine, right?
I think when you have kids that are more kids than we all do. I mean, I grew up around a lot of large families. It's really common for the older kids to help the younger kids, and it's kind of a learned experience, at least from my observation when I was a child.
Yeah, I cut that off at 2. I'm like, I don't want to be outnumbered. It's man-on-man defense at 2. I
agree that the older children should help with the... I mean, it's a family, right? Where they all have responsibilities. And I make Mo help out with Otis, and I have him do stuff, and I make him, you know, somewhat responsible. Like, if I'm not there, you're the older brother, you haven't looked out for him, and he's good at it. But it also gives him a sense of responsibility. So I do think, with much bigger... a bigger number of children, that there is that sense of, you know, hey, you're responsible for not just yourself anymore, but, you know, there's a little ones around. But yeah, the going back to parenting other kids, it's when those parents don't do that, when they're going, hey, little Johnny, come over here, and little Johnny's like just taking another kid and smashing his face into the ball pit. It's like, little Johnny's not listening to you. Why are you whispering to him in the playground, you know? And you were saying earlier about the walking behind your kids. And now that Mo is much older, he goes off by himself, but my ears and eyes are still on him. They're not on him as often. And if I catch him doing something that he's not supposed to be doing, I correct him. I correct him instantaneously, just like Cesar Millan. And I go over and I touch his neck.
You grab the leash and pull back.
I think the distance will get longer the older that.
Definitely.
Yeah, I agree. But as far as the leashes go, Jennifer, I put Mo's on actually a little longer leash in public because there's witnesses, right? Like we talked about last time. So I can't do what I normally do to him to keep him behaved.
Nice.
Home. No, I'm joking. I don't hit my kids much.
It's funny. There are a couple different families that my family hangs around with regularly, and it is interesting seeing those different parenting styles and how, regardless of whether you think you're perfect or not, everyone's got a different way of handling it. My neighbor has something kind of funny when his two kids, they're spaced about the same as my kids, and when they start to fight, and he goes and he says, "Don't make me check the cameras." And so I tried that tactic, by the way, pretending that I had little cameras implanted in the house. And this may be a topic for another podcast down the road. And my daughter, my little smart aleck daughter, says to me, "Where are the cameras, Dad?" And I'm like, "There's one right there." "What do you mean? Where? Where, Dad?" And, you know, "Why? Where? 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 Right over there. Where? No, over there, honey. Where?" And I don't think I'm going to be able to pull that off long term.
No,
I'm screwed. I'm screwed. So we want to leave you with this here. What has been your experience with having to parent other people's kids? Go to parenthoodbyfire.com. You can get to our Facebook site from there. And maybe we'll start a discussion there on Facebook. So again, what have your experiences been in parenting other people's kids? Thanks so much for listening to the episode. We will see you again next week.